Good morning. If you're still out and in the narthex, I'd invite you to come in and find a seat on this fine day. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve, and Christmas is quickly approaching. Does anyone have any announcements that they'd like to bring to our attention this morning? Our Christmas Eve service is tomorrow night. We hope you all will join us. There are some announcements in the front of your bulletin that you can look at your leisure if you're having free time, or Pastor Matt doesn't hold your attention this morning, but I'm sure he will. If there aren't any announcements, we're going to move on to our call to worship, so please stand and join me. Lord, you have come among us. We rejoice, Emmanuel, God with us. May we open our hearts and minds to receive your great love. Let us share this joy and love together as we celebrate the Christ child. Please join us in our first hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory. It's an insert in your bulletin. It's also going to be projected on the screen. Our first scripture this morning comes from Matthew 1. It's verses 18 to 23. If you would like, you can follow along with me on the screen or in the Bible in the pews. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
As many of you know, pregnancy creates a rather chaotic atmosphere. There's this episode of I Love Lucy that illustrates this chaos rather well. Ricky, Fred, and Ethel were rehearsing what to do when the time came to take Lucy to the hospital. Ethel would telephone the hospital, Fred would call the taxi, and Ricky would pick up Lucy's luggage and escort Lucy to the taxi. After several practices, they're fairly content they could do it smoothly. Then Lucy enters the living room and announces, "It's time, we need to go." Suddenly, everything falls apart. There's pandemonium and utter chaos. They're all running for the phone. They all run for the door. Then Ricky comes back and grabs the luggage. Out the door they go, leaving Lucy still standing in the center of the living room, wondering what in the world just happened. So remember, this couple is still in the engagement stage of the marriage process in the first century. Stage one was kedushin. This was the betrothal period, but was as binding as the marriage ceremony itself. This means the actual divorce process was required to nullify the marriage covenant. Then the second stage would be the huppah, sort of like a modern wedding, only much, much, much bigger. Talk about sounds. This huppah would normally last 7 days. But let's backtrack. Mary's pregnancy occurs during the engagement period. Joseph is described as being a righteous man, and this guides him to not wanting to marry an unfaithful woman, but also guides him to do what would bring her the least shame and hurt. It's the sound that they've all been waiting for. The appearance of an angel to both Mary and Joseph assures them that everything will be okay if they keep the faith, if they remain obedient. This was a huge step of faith for both of them, and you'll see this through their faith, why God chose them as we continue this service. So let's listen to the song the angel sang.
Thank you.
It is always an incredible joy to gather on Christmas Sunday and see the many faces we haven't seen for a while. So again, welcome. Thank you for being here among us. It is such incredible joy to be able to celebrate the birth of the Christ child. You'll always notice in your bulletin week after week there are prayer concerns listed. I'd encourage you to keep these close to you throughout the week. We know many of us are prayer warriors in this church, and I'd encourage all of us to be prayer warriors and keep these names lifted up. And if you have any additional names, all you need to do is contact me or the church office, and we'll be glad to include other names in our prayer concerns for Sunday mornings. But let's have a word of prayer and move along with our service this morning. Father, we thank you for this incredible Sunday morning to awaken to the sun shining, but most of all, knowing that the sun soon will be born. And we thank you for the baby Jesus. We thank you for the life that he will lead for us to be able to be guided by. We thank you for family that is gathered here this morning. And Father, you know what baggage they have brought with them this morning. You know what burdens they have. You know the joys upon their hearts. And we just celebrate, we rejoice. We mourn, we carry every emotion that each of us carries in this room together, for we know that you created us as a body of believers. And so we gather this morning recognizing each other's needs and lifting them up. In particular this morning, we lift up the prayer concerns for Carl Grabe and for Eric Hershey and for Barry Gensimer and for Joanne Ebling and for Mark Myers' family and for Ruth Keeney and for Denise Christ and for George Fink and many others that come to our minds as we continue to pray. We lift up the Lebanon Church this morning and pray you would be with their leadership. You would be with their people that are gathered together this morning. And we pray for the church globally that we would continue to proclaim the true meaning of Christmas, that Jesus is the way. Jesus is our reason that we can celebrate because he has been born, and he has been born to take away our sin. So we thank you, Father, that he has been a pure, spotless example, a sacrifice for each of us, that none of us need to leave this earth without knowing him. So I just pray for hearts to be open, minds to be open this morning, that we might receive him, that even though he didn't find room in an inn, he can find room in our hearts. So we just thank you, Lord, for that knowledge this morning, that we can always at any time invite him in and let him be Lord of our lives. And we just surrender this morning. We're obedient to you. We have faith, like Mary and Joseph, that you would carry out your perfect plans for our lives. We'll confess this morning, Lord, we don't always understand. We don't know what you're up to. But Lord, we know that you cause good in all things. So we're praying for that goodness to just pour forth in a time frame that we would be able to grasp. So thank you, God, for being with us here in this place. And we do pray now during these next few moments of silent prayer that we would confess sins that have entered our lives, but not just confess them, Lord, but we would repent of them and we would turn from them. So Father, hear our prayers of confession and also any prayers upon our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. Lord, this morning and every day of our lives, we thank you that you are a God that is personal, that you are a God that is with us, that you are a God that wants to hear from us, a God that longs to fellowship with us. And we just pray, Father, that as we traverse through this life, as we journey together, we would be able to just see you through each of us, and our lights would shine, our love would permeate to others, Lord, and into this community and into this world. Help us, Father, for those times we fall short. Forgive us, Father, for those times, and just help us to pick ourselves back up with your strength and with your encouragement to continue moving forward, sharing this good news that Jesus is born, our sins can be forgiven, and that we have reason to celebrate every single day of our lives. But we pause this very day and just thank you. We praise you, and we give you all glory and honor, for we know that you are God, and we are so thankful for that this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
chosen me now to carry your son. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear. In a world as cold as stone, must I walk this path alone? Be with me now. Be and my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, do you wander as you watch my face? If a wiser one should have had my place, but I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven,
as the breath of heaven falls upon Mary, the journey begins from Nazareth to Bethlehem. The time to enroll in the census arrives at the end of Mary's pregnancy. The distance ahead of them could very well be over 80 miles. Now think about this. A man a pregnant woman, and a long journey over rather rough terrain. I don't know about you, but these ingredients aren't adding up to what I'd call an enjoyable trip. So let's imagine the conversation between Joseph and Mary before they even leave Nazareth.
I'm not going to Bethlehem, not like this.
Mary, be reasonable.
I am 9 months pregnant. I don't have to be reasonable.
Mary, I'm not leaving you here to have the baby alone.
I'll be fine.
Look, Mary, I love you. And this isn't just any baby. The prophet Micah said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. The Romans said we have to go, and God said we have to go. So let's go.
Well, I did tell the angel I would be God's servant in this matter. All right, I'll go, but I'm not going to have a good time.
For some reason, I don't think I'll be having any fun either.
Thank you.
So we've heard from Mary this morning, we've heard from the angels, we've heard from just about everybody, but there's one more party that shows up a little after the fact that we haven't talked about yet. The wise men. And the wise men brought many gifts for the child, the baby Jesus, and I would like to inspire you this morning to bring gifts such as those to your community, to your church, to your friends and family, and that God would bless you in the same way he did all those who knew little baby Jesus. Will you pray with me? God of great wonders, we join with you in the joy of the season of giving. You gave us a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You gave us the great provider. You are the giver of all gifts. Your love is the only true currency. You give us life and breath. You fill the world with beauty, our hands with bounty, and our hearts with a desire to give. Thank you for putting money into our hands, and so we freely offer it back to you for use in your service, and as we offer ourselves in service in every season, not just the one right now. Amen.
would like to invite any other children in the audience that would like to come up and hear the children's story. These over. Sit there next to you. Awesome. So, Merry Christmas, guys. Are you guys excited? Mm-hmm. Did you all write letters to Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Yeah? Awesome. Do you think he's going to give you a good present? Have you been good?
Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol. All right. That's a good one. I want to talk today a little bit about things that we see at Christmas time. I'm going to describe them to you, and we're going to see how they relate to the church. So let's see if you can guess this first one. When you're going over to Grandma's house, you go in the front door. And usually it's in a circle, and it's on the front door. What is it?
A wreath.
A wreath. Great. Does anybody have any idea how a wreath could be related to the church service?
Yeah, because it's right there.
Because it's right there. We do have wreaths decorating. Yep, we decorate with wreaths. So the circle shape means symbolizes the beginning and the end, and that it's God is eternal and he's forever. We also are, they're also made of evergreens, pine trees. Bless you. So pine trees are green all the time, all year round. They're called the evergreen tree. So that symbolizes God's ever-present love and God's life that is eternal. And lastly, we sometimes put lights in our wreath, and the lights can represent Jesus, which is the joy of the world and the light of the world. Okay, now we're going to go inside. It's usually a shape of a triangle. It's got a star at the top or an angel. Go ahead. A tree, a Christmas tree. So we just talked about a Christmas wreath is made with evergreens. The Christmas tree is also called an evergreen. So evergreen is eternal and eternal God. It's green all year long. All right, what's on the tree? I know we're going to say ornaments, but it's a little better to eat than ornaments.
Candy canes.
Candy canes, awesome.
Me and my brother put 20 candy canes, and now there's literally only 5 left.
You ate a lot of candy canes off the tree.
A lot in the bowl.
A lot in the bowl, too? Yeah, we can put candy canes out everywhere. They're a popular treat. So candy canes, when they're upright, the way we usually eat them, are the shape of a shepherd's crook for the great shepherd. But if you turn them upside down, what do they look like?
A J for Jesus, or my name, Juliana.
A J, yeah, for Jesus. So the white in the candy cane represents the purification of God, and the red in the candy cane represents the blood from when he died on the cross for us. There's one more cool thing about the candy cane, peppermint, which is usually what they taste like, unless you get those fruit-flavored ones, can represent the hyssop plant, which was used for purification in the Bible. All right, now I have one more that you probably all will guess very easily. What's under the tree? Go ahead, say it out loud.
Presents.
So the wise...
Presents.
So the wise men came and gave gifts to the baby Jesus, and just like Santa Claus and your parents and your grandparents and your family give gifts to you, we want to give gifts too, because Jesus gave us the greatest gift of eternal life. You guys pray with me?
Yes.
Hold your hands, bow your head. There you go. Dear God, this morning we'd like to praise you for all these little children and their enthusiasm for Christmas. We love the Christmas season and the Christmas spirit, and we just pray that in everything we don't lose sight that you are our God and you are almighty and you're the reason for the season. So please, God, remind us that Jesus is the reason we celebrate this Christmas. Merry Christmas, guys.
Our next scripture is also from Matthew. You can join with me on the screen or in your pew Bibles as before. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of the King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
And now, friends, the moment we've all been waiting for, the birth of the baby Jesus. Several things have now led up to this moment. Joseph and Mary have taken a long, tedious journey to a place they didn't visit very often. It was a place full of tourists. The Jews had come from all over for the census. While there, they deal with a lot of rules and regulations from the government. And it's in the middle of this discomfort and discouragement that Mary goes in to labor. She doesn't even get to go through the pains of labor on a nice, comfortable bed. She delivers her baby on the floor of an animal shelter. And the Bible tells us the reason why. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Commentators say this was symbolic of what was ahead for Jesus. The only place it seems there was finally room for him was on a cross. So to this day, friends, he searches for room in our hearts to rescue and to restore us. But let's keep up with Mary and Joseph, as the accepted procedures for Jewish newborns are followed. We would see Jesus washed in water, rubbed with salt, and then wrapped in cloths. These cloths would be like bandages that would make Jesus look like this little mummy. Like today, Jesus would have been swaddled. He would have been wrapped tightly, binding his little arms and legs. Now, sadly, Joseph, who we know was a carpenter, who had probably made many a cradle for newborns, had to lay the baby Jesus into what we'd refer to as a feeding trough or a manger for animals. Consider that. The long-awaited, much-anticipated, often-prophesied event has finally happened. The Messiah has been born. And not in some palace, as many thought, but in a barn with animals. And speaking of which, comes the shepherd's sentiment. Keep in mind now, shepherds were considered outcasts of Jewish society. They couldn't attend the synagogue service or holy day observances because, let's face it, sheep require a lot of attention. And so, being tied to the sheep, the shepherds had little to no part in all the ritual washings so favored by the Pharisees. As a matter of fact, they barely had time to bathe themselves. And from personal experience, sheep don't smell all that great. Could it be the reason people kept their distance? Now, what is interesting to note is the sheep used for the temple sacrifices were kept in these fields near Bethlehem. So who better to be the first people besides Mary and Joseph to view the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, than these smelly, strange shepherds? After all, Moses and David were both called from shepherding to leading God's people. And here is the angel's anthem. An angel of the Lord appears to these shepherds while they watched over their flocks at night. Out in the field, the sheep are sleeping, perhaps grazing quietly. Supper is probably over, and everyone's relaxing around a campfire. And then, surprise, the scripture tells us that the glory of the Lord was shining at the angel's appearance. This is the same term used to describe the Shekinah, cloud by day and fire by night. Friends, the presence of God was here, and these poor, lowly shepherds were terrified. The King James Version says, sore afraid. In other words, so afraid it hurt. The literal Greek refers to an immense level of fear. It would be like me walking through the church and suddenly coming upon a snake with no warning. It was that kind of fear. The angel's anthem was a message, though, of encouragement, of joy, and of peace. Do not be afraid. I don't bring a message of fear. I bring a message of hope. I bring you good news of great joy. In the Greek, the phrase is the word from which we get our word evangelism. Literally, I evangelize you to great joy. Friends, joy has more to do with delight. Joy has more to do with contentment than with happiness. So let's dig a little deeper. Let's search a little further. What was this message of joy? This message of rescue and restoration? And friends, we can all unite to say this very day, the Savior has been born. He is the Christ, the equivalent in the Greek of Messiah. He is the Lord, the same term in Greek to translate Yahweh. Friends, this proves the angel's message. There was a sign, a miracle, a work of wonder. The sign was, you will find common parents in a common setting and an infant in common clothes. Notice, it did not say in royal robes in a palace. The majesty of God is contained in the simple. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Friends, we too know there were heavenly hosts. This birth announcement couldn't be contained in a card or even a newspaper, but had to be delivered by a special courier from God. An event so momentous that a whole bunch of angels had to speak God's praises. Host from the Hebrew Sabaoth. Literally, army. Stay with me. An army of angels were praising God. Literally telling the story of what God had done. And friends, it was a message of peace. The Jewish concept of peace was shalom, which means wholeness, which means completion, which means being at one with God. This Prince of Peace, Jesus himself, brings a peace not of this world, but a peace that surpasses all understanding. Like the shepherds heard in the angels' worship of God, I pray that this great news causes us to want to go and see, to worship this newborn king. And I pray that it causes us to tell everyone that we rejoice over a Savior who rescues and restores, a personal Savior who longs to find room in our hearts. May this news, this very day, keep us from never being the same again, but being a renewed, a restored people full of joy, full of passion, with a reason to celebrate all the days of our lives. For this is our King, this is our God, and we, friends, are his people. Would you pray with me? God, we just thank you again for sending your son as a baby to be born into this world. Father, we know it doesn't stop at his birth. We know that this child grows and he matures and he teaches us so much as he ministers over his years. But Father, now in the stillness of this moment, as we recollect the meaning of Christmas, we too want to worship. We too want to adore this Christ child. And we too want to say, Lord, there is room in my heart for you to come in. So may today and the rest of the days of our lives be a day where our hearts are always opened and that we may always receive what the Lord has in store for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord,
The reality of this moment is not that just Jesus has been born, but that Jesus has been born for all. And that word all does not exclude anyone. So no matter where you are in your life at this very moment, whether you've received Jesus as the precious gift that he is, or whether you're still searching, know that this Jesus, this Christ child, has been born especially for each of us. And we can receive him with a simple prayer. Lord, come into my life, and he will enter in. I pray this is the most blessed of Christmases for all of you. May you find peace, may you find joy, and may you know Jesus is the reason. Amen.